You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about all the rumors, all the gossip, all the drama,
all the spilled tea
in Barcelona and Leo Messi. Who knows what is exactly going on? We try to break it down in the most Cooligans way possible.
That's right. Then we talk to Sandra Herrera from CBS Sports, also Southside Trap Podcast. We talk about everything from women's sports to everything going on in Chicago, that and more today on the Cooligans.
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Vamos, let's go. Yes, okay. Look, at is that you doing an impression of Lionel Messi responding to Barcelona when they asked him if he was going to stay?
That's my impression of Lionel Messi's agent, except the opposite, when he found out he ain't making a $700 million move.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, big show today. A lot to discuss. Obviously, the Messi news. The Messi news also, right?
It's yeah. Messi
and very messy. So,
yeah. With an I, with an I, E. We don't care. It's all of those things.
What is this, French? This is great.
Le Messi.
A lot to go over today. So, again, hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show ever that has ever existed.
That's right. Forget all them other joints because they ain't as gully as we are, because we just so happen to be the gulliest podcast / television show / I'm right outside your house.
Okay. Yeah, that's a new way to watch our show.
It's a new feature, to be honest. We're social distancing, though. We're 6 feet outside your window. Yeah, yeah.
It's the first time somebody had to file a restraining order in a television show. It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened.
So thank you again for tuning in. We have an exciting show today. Our guest today will be Sandra Herrera.
That's right.
Southside Trap Podcast.
Let's do the whole thing. Sandra.
Sandra.
Oh.
Okay. Sandy. Okay.
Yo.
No, she's going to be on CBS Sports. She's an NWSL analyst, and we have a great time talking to her, so stick around for that. But yes, obviously, let's begin with this, with the drama, the rumors, the news. I mean, is this the E-Network all of a sudden?
Because is this Telemundo? Is this okay. Univision? TV Novela?
Will he? Won't he? You know?
Yeah. It's like Maria, Pedro, Leonel Messi.
Boludo.
Boludo. Asado. We're just naming Argentinians. The camera just keeps jump cutting.
But these are all characters on the show. They keep opening a door and walking.
It's a skirt steak, an entraña that's talking. ¿Qué haces? ¿Por qué?
Yeah, a skirt steak with googly eyes on it, bro.
Son, the only reason the character dies off is because I eat it in the third act.
I'm watching the show, is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Pero estaba cocinado perfecto.
Lionel Messi. Turn on the sap. Function, because you're gonna need it.
We've been getting wild Spanish on the show, and it's gonna keep happening, son.
So yes, Lionel Messi announced that he will be staying at Barcelona.
7 minutes in, we finally, after saying Messi, we finally get to the story.
You know why? Because you know sometimes you watch ESPN FC and they're like breaking news, and they just get right into it.
No.
That's not what the show is.
Let's warm up a little bit.
Okay,
let's feel each other out.
This is the aperitif. Okay, let's get ready for the main dish.
The second song in our Make Love playlist hasn't even started yet. And you want me to just go full throttle? Would you have a bad day at work?
Okay. Yes, but I mean, look, this is the news, right? We spoke last episode Well, you know, all the rumors of like he might end up at NYCFC, he's going to go Man City, then NYCFC, and it was all in place, and it was like going to happen in the next like 3 days, right?
I thought it was going to happen too,
because his dad Jorge Messi was like he doesn't want to stay there, he is leaving, that this clause is not valid, he should be able to go. So right. I'm like, when dad starts speaking up, you know,
right?
It's like LeVar Ball. It's just like, oh, bro, this guy's taking over. He's taking over the whole news cycle, right?
Imagine I had a contract dispute with Fubo and Diego Maradona was like, se va. he can't stay like this. And then he just starts dancing.
If it was for $700 million, you know, your dad, your real dad will be showing up.
Just pull out of an old station wagon.
I really care about being in my son's life.
Alexi, hijo, let me help you.
So, no, but I want to read the quote from, we spoke about this man, Fabrizio Romano. The real in the know. Right, the Adam Schefter of European football.
100%. He knows the vibes. You're always asking, yes. You know the vibes? He does. He knows
Gold,
the vibes.
So let's give credit where credit is due. Gold.com was the first to break this news, and he had, I saw his tweet first.
Yes.
But he, on the tweet, it says, quoting Messi, he says, I wasn't happy and I wanted to leave. I have not been allowed this in any way, and I will stay at the club so as not to get into a legal dispute. The manager of the club led, the management of the club led by Bartomeu is a disaster. So this is going back to school, you know, this is senior year. You're like, you know, you're not really bringing the same kind of effort and energy as the prior 3 years in high school. And this is why.
Yo, you know that shot? I can't think of the actress's name, but it's the shot of her. It's like a GIF. It's her walking away from a house on fire behind her.
Yes, yes.
Is it Angela Bassett, maybe?
I think it's Angela Bassett, yeah.
Right? He's doing the same thing, but fam, you're in the house. You gotta get out of the house before you burn it. He's burning a bridge while on the bridge. He's like, I don't think you know how this works, my
G. Yeah, yeah. He's like, throw me in the ocean. That's what he's done. Yeah.
Whatever. We're all drowning.
So this is wild. Like, and if this is, you know, we're reading this quote. I'm not going to say that this wasn't true or anything, but we're not seeing a video of him saying it. So it almost feels like it could be fabricated because it doesn't feel like it's something he would say.
This is like legal grounds. Like, I mean, you are, this is full on slander.
Well, this, if it got to this point where he says this, that means it was really bad, right? Like this is, if this is the toned down statement, then this is him being, then it must have been like the meetings themselves and the negotiations must have been an absolute nightmare.
Oh yeah. This is a wife saying, fine, I'm not going to divorce you. I'll stay here for the kids, but you're trash and I'm getting my own bedroom. That's literally what just happened.
So I'm fascinated what this is going to look like this season. But we'll see. Okay. All right. We have an incredible show coming up, a lot more. So Sandra Herrera will be with us in a moment. So come right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but
dude.
We're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, you know, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in this Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay? That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah, see? he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us, right, with a guitar. Ellie Menjum of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had Zach
Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad. And we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. All right, baby, we're back here on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And like we always like to say, dude, it's just a revolving door. Superstars, right? I mean, we don't do a small here,
and we whisper it just like that. A superstar.
That's right. People sometimes they listen to us in their ears, and I just want them to know that we don't need to be loud about it, right? It's just a revolving door of superstars. But I mean, this look, we saw her shine during the NWSL Challenge Cup. Every 5 seconds, throw to her, because one of the co-hosts of the main project didn't even know play his names. So, Sandra, save this. She's absolutely incredible, really insightful, pretty much knows everything that's happening in women's soccer, which is wild. You may know her from CBS Sports Analyst. You probably also know her as the co-host of the Southside Trap podcast, which I'm here in the streets of saying is the other Cooligans, which I always respect. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, pull over and put your hands together for the one, the only, Sandra Herrera.
What is good, Sandra?
What's going on, guys? Thanks so much for having me today. So early in the morning. Appreciate you.
No problem.
I mean, it's early for you, but on the for Eastern time, it's like reasonable.
Not reasonable
for comedians.
For us. Yeah,
no. Comedian I shouldn't time complain.
Is a little different, right? I don't know. What's journalist time like? Do journalists appreciate getting up early or no?
I really, who sleeps, man? Honestly, I hear that's overrated.
what is your day like? Is it just simply trying to scoop? Equalizer and Meg Linehan. Is that all you do all day?
No, that's fam right there, man. I think it's a cool vibe, actually. The vibe is just different, I think, when it comes to covering women's soccer. It's a good vibe too. Like, there's a lot of collaborative effort there going on behind the scenes. I think that a lot of people might not actually be aware of. But it's been, especially like this journey, like my own personal journey, like kind of because I've written stuff for Equalizer Soccer,
yeah, that's right.
And I kind of started kind of on those independent sites and blogs, and kind of getting to a place like CBS Sports. That's, you always remember where you come from, right? So there's been a lot of great support on both sides of the aisle here. As someone who's working with a spotlight, CBS as a digital partner, and people who have been doing this for a decade almost, so it's been 2020 has been quite a year, but in terms of the women's soccer coverage, it's been real nice.
Yeah. The cool thing is like I personally didn't know, I feel like I didn't know who Sandra Herrera was. And then when I did know, I was I felt like I was late to the game. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you get so much love, and then seeing you on CBS, and from, frankly, it's just like, to see women's soccer coverage and see it
just taken seriously by everyone involved. It is like a thing where you're like, oh, this is what it was always supposed to be like, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
as opposed to you know, it being like wildly niche or like or doing something tacky to make it seem more interesting. It's just like, no, just talk about the athletes and analyze the game like they're normal people, and people will grow to respect the game as they rightly should. As far as your just getting that opportunity to work for CBS, and then just, you know, instead of just being a writer and being on camera, what has you know, changed for you as far as like what you feel your contribution is to women's soccer?
Honestly, this kind of stuff, man, I'm used to being behind the scenes, you know, writing, whether it's analyzing, critiquing, or profiling and featuring players or coaches, and doing things like on the more like the audio side, like the podcasting side of things. So being brought on and asking to do kind of quick, immediate reactions, you know, like in a post-game capacity, I'm not going to front, it was something completely new to me. But at the same time, I also had a bit of a familiar feeling because I'm just someone in this landscape, one of many who have just been trying to do just that. Talk about these athletes like they are professional athletes. Talk about the work that they're doing on and off the pitch, because some of the work that they do doesn't get highlighted enough off of the pitch, especially within this lens of 2020, right? There's a lot of players out there doing a lot of amazing stuff, have a lot of amazing stories. And on top of that, right, they're these amazing athletes. So being able to try to encompass all that in this sort of kind of quick succession and, you know, making sure you can kind of bridge those things together for like the audience that's really kind of niche and already in place, while also kind of introducing a wider audience, a more general audience, and a new audience really that's kind of being introduced to NWSL for the first time. So it's been a growing experience, been a learning experience, and we're all just trying to do our best, right? And this year, including myself included. But it's been so dope to see all the support and from, you know, all corners of the deep dark internet.
when you started writing about soccer, was a dream of yours or a goal or like to get in front of the camera? Because one of the things that I noticed immediately is the authenticity of your voice, because you don't code switch when somebody asks you a question and be like, well, thank you very much for asking me. Actually, the reason I, you know, you keep it 100. And that's something that Christian and I set out to do. It's like, I mean, yeah, there's a way to answer something correctly and tactfully, but like if our immediate reaction is to be like, oh damn, it's like, we're not going to hide that. And you do that incredibly well. And it's something that brings me a lot of joy to see, especially on a channel like CBS. Is that something that you thought of when you were going to get in front of the camera, that you did sort of insightfully? You were like, I'm going to keep it exactly to who I am. I'm gonna have Chief Keef playing in the background to make sure everybody knows.
They're gonna exactly, learn today.
You know, the No Glow Boys is just outside this door.
Hey, you know, you're giving me some ideas here to incorporate. Maybe I'll pitch that to the CBS producers, see how they feel about it. But no, I mean, my whole thing is, you know, I think starting this, my story is always going to begin and end with Chicago, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful in nobody's house here, but I'm from the greatest city in the world. Okay. In Chicago.
Everyone heard her say second greatest, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, but you know, part of
second,
like,
city, I don't know.
Hey. We like the chip on the shoulder, you know what I'm saying? It gives us a little more to aspire to. But you know, it really kind of just started with that, honestly, like getting into this and diving into women's soccer coverage. You know, Chicago, similar to New York, right, is a very sports saturated city. I mean, two baseball teams, an NFL team, you know, NBA team, et cetera, et cetera. But it also has a really unique opportunity in that it's also home to a lot of women's professional sports leagues. I think it might be one of the only cities that has like multiple pro women's sports teams within its city. And I grew up, you know, loving basketball, loving soccer, and sort of seeing a team like the Red Stars. You know, I'm very fortunate that there is an NWSL team that reps Chicago. And I kind of really kind of got into it during that 2015 World Cup. And then I really didn't make the leap to start doing coverage until that following season in 2016, because I was just so impressed by the Red Stars and what they were doing, you know, as this really young team at the time. They had a young core of rookies, you know, shout out to the player like Sofia Huerta, who's with OL right now, or a player like Jersey Kid like Coloprico, right? So they had like this a cool young group, like core group of players, and I was like, man, like, why isn't some local mainstream outlets for Chicago like giving this team, you know, more love? And following that year, I was like, well, let me try to kind of throw my hat in the ring, right? And be able to kind of get my perspective on this team and what they're doing. And it just kind of took off from there, reaching out to independent sites, seeing if they honestly wanted to have somebody even write about, you know, women's soccer, because you'd be surprised. There's places out there that you pitch to and they're like, they pass. And they're like, nah, we're good, right? So to sort of see this kind of trajectory from, you know, 2015 in particular, when the league's been around since 2013, right? And then to now 2020, you know, having this big deal with CBS for, you know, multi-years, you know, and having them be exposed internationally on a platform like Twitch, right? All of that stuff is so cool to see. And when I started this, I was always me, right? So I was writing about it from a local capacity. And then we started a podcast with Southside Trap. And then, you know, me and my co-host, Claire Watkins, shout out to her, the god. Yeah. And she came on board and was like, let's do this. And she's so much of she's both the captain and the anchor, honestly, of the podcast. So just kind of building and like trying to establish community. And while leaning into something like the podcast, still continuing the writing component of it, right? And being brought on to CBS, that didn't change for me, right? I'm still Sandra. I still got my start the way that I got my start. Yeah. And I'm still where I'm from, right? So for me, integrating those things, it wasn't about integrating those things to me. It's just about presenting myself to potentially a new audience, right? There are moments, and I think we can all kind of relate to this, there are moments where you have to do a bit of code switching sometimes.
Have to, yeah.
It's just maybe a survival instinct, right? But so
you're not in Zoom meetings like, yo, what's good, fam?
I mean, not everybody.
What about the guap? I will put in the chat what guap means for everyone.
Not everybody can handle the energy, man. It's just how it goes. That's just how it goes sometimes. So yeah, you kind of got to have that. You kind of have that in the back of your head. But people, especially in a year like this, I think they value and appreciate authenticity, right? So when you are kind of staying true to yourself, being honest with people, right? I think they're a lot more receptive to that. And to be quite frank, when I'm covering a game and something really cool happens, I want to say that something really cool happens.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say that something like that X player dunked on Y player. Yeah. And that was insane, right? And people vibe off of that, man. Oh. So it's been good, and hopefully I don't, you know, get too many producers notes about having to change it up.
Well, that's why we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
We are here with Sandra Herrera of Southside Trap podcast, and so I specifically that I want to talk about the Chicago Red Stars a little bit, because I remember this was last year. This is before the this is during the NWSL playoffs, and Meg Linehan, friend of the show, friend of ours, of us, right? She was on our show, and we were trying to get an understanding. Especially that was like really the first NWSL playoffs that we really, really paid attention to every single game. We're trying to analyze every single team, and the Red Stars, especially when they were going up against the Courage, I was like, I think they're gonna get smashed by the Courage. Yeah. I'll be honest,
this ain't gonna be easy.
Just like really good, and then they were tweeting at me, and they were like, this dude hasn't even watched any of the games. Why is he saying that? Like, and what happened at the final? All right. Okay. So your boy wasn't wrong, but you know, no disrespect to the Red Stars, but I'm curious about what the approach is. Cause they are a team that seems to, at least the last few years, they can get in big games, or if they need to get that result to get through the playoffs, they can. But obviously, the Courage are a different beast. But when it comes to, you know, the departure of Sam Kerr, what is the identity now of the Red Stars, and how they're going to score goals?
You know, I think we're 2020 is providing a look into that, right? It's giving us a platform. We already had a Challenge Cup, and now there's going to be a fall series to sort of see what that could potentially look like. You know, that 2019 team was incredibly special. And for someone who's been watching the team as long as I've been watching the team, and me and myself and my co-host, you know, we were covering it pretty closely. And we both agree that that 2019 roster, hands down, was the greatest Chicago Red Sox roster of all time. And so that bar has been set. So yeah. Now what we're seeing is who's going to smash that, right? And how do you smash that? And you smash that by winning hardware, right? Chicago, for quite some time, has always been a team that has kind of bullied their way, you know what I'm saying, like into the narrative of what's considered a top tier team. And I think that's part of what makes them so endearing, right? Because for so long within NWSL, you're talking about what's considered a top tier team. And you looked at whether it was whoever's Paul Riley team was at the time, you know, whether it was the New York Western Flash or now North Carolina and Portland Thorns. Right. That's the narrative, you know, and that's those are the matchups that really get people hyped up too. It's preached a lot about the rivalry between those two teams specifically. Right. And then all of a sudden you had a team like the Red Stars, just like I said, just sort of quietly kind of throw some balls and get and push their way into that conversation and say, hold on, you know, we're here too to compete. Right. So again, that's one of those things that really, I think, has endeared them to so many, maybe kind of casual fans. Right. And with a roster that more or less up until this season didn't have a lot of turnover, right? They kind of built their team up through the draft, added pieces where they had to add, right? And then always kind of had that sort of star striker and leader up top that they can always look to, whether it was a player like Kristen Press within her era or a player like Sam Kerr in her era, right? So they're going through what we've heard on record a few times is a little bit of a building year, not a rebuilding year, but they've been calling it just a straight up building year. You know, losing a player like Sam Kerr to, you know, new challenges, because a player like her always has to keep pushing herself, right? So seeing her, she, you know, from my personal perspective, I think she did her job. You know, she won a semifinal with the Red Stars, which was something that had never been done in years after they had been knocking, you know, and gotten to a championship final, right? And they fell short against right now what is arguably one of two of the greatest teams in the world. So I think when we're talking about women's professional soccer, from the European side, obviously you've got a team like Lyon, but in American women's soccer, there's no doubt. So you've got Lyon and you've got North Carolina Courage. Yeah, absolutely. So for someone like me, I mean, there's no shame in losing to the greatest team in the world, man. Like, if you're gonna lose, you better lose to the GOATs, right?
Yeah.
So coming out of that and watching how they kind of operated in their off season, kind of watching some of the moves that they made, whether it was throughout the draft and throughout the off season, kind of collecting a forward or striker by committee, right? Like going out and getting a player like Khalil Haiwa, you know, or getting players like Rachel Hill, you know, Mackenzie Donegan, and adding to some forwards that are already within the team, players like, you know, Katie Johnson, Savannah McCaskill, and kind of really forcing the issue here and saying, like, let's see and not be so reliant on one type of striker. That's going to mean that their soccer is probably going to look a little bit different. And that's probably also means that their soccer is going to feel a little bit painful sometimes, right? But I think what we saw in the Challenge Cup was very, very impressive. I mean, we saw a Chicago Red Stars team that kind of wanted to utilize the Challenge Cup as an opportunity to get experience for so many young players and new talent on their roster while integrating a lot of new players who happen to be veterans, right? Even second-year players, you know, players like Savannah McCaska and Katie Johnson, you know, they are in their second year with the Red Stars, and the player like McCaskill really only had a short window of time to try to make an impact when they acquired her midseason last year. So they've always been referring to this as a building year, and that's definitely what it is for them. So I'm excited to see potentially more of that stuff kind of come together as the year closes out.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about Chicago and some of the positive changes they've made. What are the teams in the NWSL based on their ownership group and some of the front office things we're hearing about? And this also includes, obviously, the men's professional team they own over in Utah are going through some not so positive changes. Deloy Hansen had made some very racist comments. It's come out that he's going to sell the team. But now it seems like there's a rush of former employees or maybe some whistleblowers kind of talking about some of the very negative sort of work experience and some of the misogynist stuff that was happening on the women's side. Maybe you're not completely up on what's happening currently, but what are some of, like, what's the general consensus about what's happening? Is this something that was known previously? And do we think that this is going to be a positive change? Because some the excitement and the anticipation of what's happening over at Angel City and just in the league in general seems everything is like moving forward in such a positive direction and in such a more like everyone's like overjoyed. And then here comes Utah, kind of reminding you of yesteryear. What's sort of what you're hearing?
You know, personally speaking, like these are all I feel statements, right? I want to preface well what I'm about to say by saying that these are I feel statements. These are no reflection of no one else but me.
So you're not reading directly from a commissioner's note. This is
I am definitely not. I am definitely not. But you know, the week that we all just bear witness to, right, out of professional sports, seeing so many players from multiple professional leagues sort of kind of band together in this like example and display of collective action, right? I think it's so important, especially for all the naysayers out there who talk about how protesting doesn't achieve anything or doesn't work. What we're seeing is that that's just not true, right? And unfortunately, some people don't know how to not center themselves when it comes to this type of stuff. And I think that's part of what we saw recently out of the ownership group within Utah, right? There were a lot of pretty atrocious comments made in response to what players specifically were trying to bring attention to. And you heard a whole lot of me and I, and not a lot of we and what can I do and how can I be, you know, of service to you and how can I help? And in light of that, it opened up a bit of a gate, right? And everything just kind of came flooding out. And some pretty, I think we can all agree, atrocious things had taken place behind the scenes, right? We hear a lot of stories about like racist comments and stuff like that. And we're recently hearing some other really gross things that, you know, are talking about real sexist comments as well when it comes to the women's side of things.
It's so wild how we, you know, we're looking for the racism and we uncover all this misogyny paired with it. You know,
it's, but you know, like, it's funny.
It's weird.
Those two are always inextricably linked for some reason.
They say you shouldn't protest because there's no such thing as racism. And then as soon as you protest, we find all this racism.
And then you find all this other stuff, right? Yeah. You find all the sexism and the socioeconomic issues and how everything is linked and combined and interchanging, right? And how one thing impacts the other and vice versa, right? And, you know, on the MLS side of things, on the NWSL side of things, talking about the investigation was going to take place. And we saw something happen immediately, right? In terms of the timeline of things, this did not take long at all. Because what we're hearing now, what's being reported now, is that the current ownership group thinks it's in the best interest to go ahead and, you know, sell, basically. Yeah.
They're sharing. So, we can't do all that.
We opened one filing cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. So, on the other side of that, though, you know, I think there's also, it's important to remember that, you know, money doesn't fix everything, right? I think on the women's soccer side specifically, I think that having an ownership group in Utah at the time was really touted as like this really end all be all, like a level of standard, right, that people want to continue seeing in NWSL. And I'm not negating the work that so many people did, because it wasn't just one person, right? Not at all. There was obviously a lot of work behind the scenes from probably some pretty amazing people to get things done, right? And to set kind of a new standard for women's soccer that we're starting to demand more of, you know, to see from clubs, right? So hopefully, yes, there will be a new ownership group, but my hope is that there is still some form of accountability that takes place, right? Because I think it's very, very easy to just say, you know what, let's just sell. Because when you allow racists or sexists to continue being racist or sexist without consequence, that's a problem. That's not fixing anything, and that's not resolving anything. So I'm unsure if the results of those independent findings will ever come to light. That's not here for me to say whether or not they will, or even if they should. Again, personally, and I feel statement, I think when we're looking for things like accountability and things like that, I think that type of stuff would want to be seen by general public, especially, sure. You know, maybe a fan base that you're asking to still be invested, right, and still be involved. So this is all ongoing. There's a lot of legal things that are happening, and there's actually, on outside of it, there's actually some very cool things that we're seeing. I mean, we saw a player like Josie Altidore and then now JJ Watt, like, expressing how, you know, they would want to be interested in some capacity, right, to try to maybe form a new ownership group. I mean, can you imagine somebody like Josie Altidore, like, banding together and having Black ownership in a place like Utah? That would be beautiful. That would be phenomenal. It would be it would be epic, you know. It would be groundbreaking. So there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that's ongoing. There's a lot that's hard to swallow, right? There's a lot that's hard to take in when you're kind of hearing and reading the reporting that's coming out of Utah.
Hopefully, some positive stuff happens. You know?
But hopefully, it's going to lead to some other good changes, and hopefully, selfishly, that includes the women's side of things, right?
Yeah, I hope JJ ends up buying the team, and then Kaylia, whenever she's playing against the Royals, she's just like, I'm gonna destroy this team.
Can I just say something real quick? Okay, as somebody who's just watching Miss Kaylia, who just got here to Chicago, you know, you don't have to go looking to Utah. You know, Chicago, I'm sure, will welcome partnership as well. So I'm just saying, homie.
Keep it in the family.
I know your home state's not too far. You don't got to go too far, man. Wisconsin, Chicago, your wife's already here. Let's talk.
All right. And we got a bunch of questions from Gully Squad, our supporters group, okay? Mm-hmm. So we'll try to get through as many as possible. So Nicole Hack, I'm a huge Fire fan, Red Sox fan, you know, built
soccer
in,
fan,
built in Chicago. She asked, how does Sandra think the rise in European women's leagues will impact NWSL? Should we be concerned that the level of play and the NWSL could decline with players being attracted to leagues in Europe more than in previous years?
Ooh, good question, Nicole, putting me on the spot. You know, I'm a fan of the European side of the game. I think anyone who watches soccer should consume as much of it as they can, because you expose yourself to so many different facets of the game, right? And what we saw post Challenge Cup specifically is, you know, this kind of weird window of time where we weren't too sure if there was going to be extra soccer happening for NWSL in 2020, right? So now we're seeing different, like, a number of players go overseas to try to, you know, connect with teams, continue to work on the games, continue to get matches to stay fit, you know, throughout 2020. So I think that there's a benefit in this year, specifically in 2020, because it almost feels like a reset button was hit for everyone everywhere all over the world, to be quite frank. I think we just saw a Women's Champions League, you know, final that probably saw some of its better soccer from one specific team in the final match. I think we maybe saw some questionable moments. We were waiting for Lyon specifically to hit a level. We were like, man, you know, they're maybe not looking the way they're supposed to be looking, but then they reminded us who they were in the final, right? And then you saw a Wolfsburg team that was kind of going through their stuff as well. These were two teams that were ranked 1 and 2, and then clearly getting to the final and seeing a team that maybe looked a little bit outmatched, which was kind of weird when you're thinking about a number one and a number two going head to head, right? But I think this is only going to benefit the game, honestly.
Nice.
I think you want to see your players getting exposure, because while yes, there's maybe big players, like World Cup winning players, right, that are heading overseas and pursuing playing opportunities over there. It's not just them. You know, there are longtime veteran players of NWSL who are making the choice to maybe continue their 2020 overseas, you know, and that's going to benefit the league. Those players who are your literal backbone players of the league. This isn't a league that's just composed of, you know, 20 to 23 superstars who go to the World Cup every 4 years. This is a league that's composed of like 200 women who come from all facets of life, and who have been in this league for X amount of years. So I think that stuff should always be encouraged. And I think it's only going to benefit the game worldwide.
Actually, that leads me right to Emily Gertis's question, which is, first she starts, what's your favorite part about being a part of the CBS broadcast? But she also asks, what kinds of talent do you think will showcase at the fall series, especially now that so many heavy hitters have gone abroad? And who do you think we should be keeping an eye on? She also said, everybody quiet, Sandra's on TV. I don't know. I love that part. Emily Gertis.
That kills me. That always cracks me up when everybody does that. Because that's something that, like, I've done on my own Twitter, and I'll be like, everybody shut up. There's so-and-so's on TV. So it's weird to kind of see how this is all going full circle. But my favorite part of CBS broadcast team, I got a shout out my girl, Allie Wagner, my soccer boo. So she's probably my favorite part. Sherry Barresi, she always runs the show there for us and feeds us. She feeds us. So I love them both equally. And in terms of the other question, I'm already drawing a blank on the follow-up question. Help me.
Who do we think is going to showcase, especially now that so many heavy hitters have gone to Europe? And is it just Shea Groom and Rachel Daly constantly?
Let me tell
you,
bro, again, while we're getting personal, this is going to be another actual statement. The reason why I blanked on that is because at the time of this recording, right, that we're doing this, we don't necessarily have a lot of rosters in front of us, guys. I think we have one team that announced the roster in OO Reign. So thank you, OO Reign, for hooking up your media folk and wanting us to, you know, giving us the opportunity to talk about you. You know, we're only getting a partial schedule from NWSL. So it's all happening very, very quickly. But if we're going off a Challenge Cup, I'm looking for the continuation of what we saw there. We saw so many coaches, a good handful of them, want to utilize that as an opportunity for the younger players to get actual genuine game day experience. And I think we're going to see a little bit of a continuation of that. You know, obviously we might see some veteran players who didn't make the option to go over to. They're going to stay here and lock in and be participating within this fall series, but I'm still looking for those newer faces and those newer names to kind of get in there and step up and challenge and kind of show a bit of a larger roster for some of these teams, you know. And if you're a team like LA, if you're a team like Louisville, an expansion team, you're probably paying attention to these teams. You're going to be looking at these games in the fall series because all of these rosters are going to be big now, but in the future, when hopefully things kind of settle in and we get back to what a regular season or schedule or a regular roster will look like, there might not be all that room for some of these players. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you know how Meg has to deal with is the schedule out yet? Sandra's going to be like, deal with, is the roster out yet? What's going on?
Everybody's responsible for something when it comes to NWSL. Yeah.
the journalists are the ones doing the heavy lifting on publicizing this league. So, okay, we have a couple other questions. So this one from Matt L. He said, at what point did she realize she's awesome? You don't have to answer that.
Oh, man.
People are showing you love. I'm telling you.
Matt, she just texted us day one. She won't say it, but that's what she really means.
Laura asked, are you ready to be as big as Meg Linehan? So look, this is people are putting you on a pedestal already. But she did also ask, what are you hoping to see from CBS investing in more soccer coverage, which also Douglas Reyes Serrano also has a kind of a similar question.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, shout out to my homie Meg Linehan. She's the one. And if you follow me on Twitter, my profile picture says as such. It tells you to direct all questions to her. Don't come to me with that, please. But I'm very excited about CBS and the partnership with NWSL. And I'm, of course, obviously very excited to be part of that and be one of the people that's going to be involved in making sure that there's constant content flowing for everyone about NWSL. So it's hard to imagine, but, you know, NWSL is still this really growing league. It's still really young. You know, it's still in its kind of development stage, and we're watching it kind of enter into this new era, right? An era in which it's never seen before, you know, an era in which it's outgrown so many of its predecessors. It's going to be going into its ninth season after, you know, after 2020 concludes. And despite that, you still see this kind of necessary need for even all those little things. Like, people still want to look for where the schedules are at, right? Yeah. They want to see where the rosters are. They want to see the trackers. They want to see where players are going overseas. And that's all stuff that happens in major professional leagues. That's all content that you get constantly, year round, really, with all of these leagues. And we need to start seeing that with a league like NWSL. It needs to be treated as such. If we're talking about professional sports, sports entertainment, whatever you want to label it, all of that needs to be equal, right? Not just condition standards and pay for players, but the coverage and the marketing of the sport. And there's a huge opportunity here within CBS, and they're embracing it wholeheartedly. There's a great team on the editorial side of stuff. I'm so lucky to have their support. I feel so blessed, truly, that they've reached out and kind of sought me out as talent to bring on and kind of help them also navigate things. But we've got a lot of great stuff in the works. You know, it's hopefully maybe there will be some interviews and in podcasts in the future. I would love to have that be incorporated a little bit to kind of talk about it.
And hopefully the league starts to release some more information to make your job easier.
Yeah, and it'll be great. So it'll be great. So just everybody stay tuned. Log into your CBS All Access. You know, check out cbssports.com. It's gonna be great.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Sandra. Absolutely crushed it. We appreciate your time. We have to get you back on the show. There's so much we could talk about. We need to do a WNBA episode and talk about a bunch of stuff there as well. So, Sandra, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Everybody, just stay engaged. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that, but you got to be nice. You can find me at @Sandra_. That's @HERRERA_. Shout out to CBSSports.com. That's where you can find all the CBS stuff for NWSL. And shout out to the Southside Trap podcast. Honestly, if you're looking for team-specific content, if you're into Chicago as a whole, go check out the podcast and support us on Patreon if you can. But yeah, thanks, guys, for having me.
Absolutely honored. Thank you so much. All right. So everybody, make sure you follow @SoccerCooligans on all social media platforms. Follow @FuboSports on all social media channels as well. And make sure to follow the FuboSports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So do all those things and your life will just be better. Okay.
Yeah, click all those buttons we just told you to click.
So let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Sandra Herrera, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!